Sabbath. We thank you for the privilege that we have to come worship you and hear the word in an environment of peace and safety. We cherish these moments. Now speak to us and have us respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you see the title in the bulletin? You thought I was in deep waters last week. We go even deeper today. Can I eat meat and still be saved? What a ridiculous sermon title. I can assure you that I'm the only one that's preaching this sermon this weekend. No canned sermon this week. This is truly a Seventh-day Adventist sermon. Several months ago, I passed out a sheet with a list of things that you wanted to hear. This was on the list, this very title, this very sermon. And so you checked it off. It was about in the middle of the pack, so I'm preaching it today. I'll cut right to the chase. The answer is yes. I'm so grateful for that because my mother was from South Carolina, even though I was born in Philadelphia. I've shared that with you before. My mother could make anything taste good. And she cooked about anything. And so I have eaten my share of meat. So I am thankful that I can eat meat and still be saved. Aren't you glad for that? Say amen. It's not on? Thank you. I hope you heard me anyway. I started to talk about this subject because last week I talked about the areas that challenge us. I left this one off. Two was all you could handle last Sabbath, and so I thought I would add the third. Some of the major challenges that we encounter, they have to do with eating. I would pray, and I would hope that you would pray with me now, because I do not want to be misunderstood. And if you do not pay close attention, you will misunderstand what I'm about to say. In fact, you might find that even though I'm talking about food, maybe I'm really not talking about food. So I invite you to stay with me. How we eat is important to Seventh-day Adventist Christians. Can you say amen? In fact, it's so important that in our very baptismal vows, we ask the question, do you believe that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and that you ought to honor God by caring for your body? In abstaining from such things as alcoholic beverages, tobacco in all of its form, drugs, and from unclean foods. I'd venture to say that you could go a lot of other places and they would not have this listed. It doesn't matter. I'm going to ask you a question and I'm going to see how you respond. How many here like chicken? Let me see you raise your hand. You know there's a trick in here somewhere, right? You know that, right? How many here like fish? Let me see your hand. Well, you guys surprised me. You're surprising me. How many like beef? Raise your hand. A few hands, okay. I'm surprised. Fallbrook, you're surprising me. You know that some people are uncomfortable with me even asking this? That's how important the area of eating is to us. Just even to mention the word meat makes some uncomfortable. I know I'm in deep waters, but that's okay. I know that they are... Oh, if I left off a couple. I may like vegetarianism. How about vegan? Okay. Somebody said they like it all. You might be where I'm going. Okay. And that really makes up the gamut of Seventh-day Adventists. Some eat no dairy, some dairy, some fish, some clean meats, some vegetarians. I'm a vegetarian that likes eggs. And when I said that the last time, someone met me at the door and beat me up pretty hard because I mentioned I like eggs. Only in a Seventh-day Adventist church would a preacher mention that he likes eggs and get beat up at the door. No other church in North America would that happen. That shows you how important eating is to us. I hope you don't miss my point. I mean, it's really closely related to how we think. Let me share with you why this is all so important to me, what I'm going to say. It might be humorous, but it's not intended to be as much as to share with you some of my experiences. While I was in the Navy, I was in another country. I won't say where it was. I was with a friend, and I was hungry. I had been at sea for 108 days. And when we pulled into port, my friend and I stopped at a nice place, and we ordered something on the menu, and I couldn't read it. It was not in the language that I could read, but it sounded good. And I ordered it. It was over $100. But you know, when you've been at sea for 108 days, you have a lot of money in your pocket, and you're hungry. And so they brought out a big platter of this dish. I wish I could tell you that I was a Daniel, but I can't. There were some things in that platter that were not on our baptismal vow. Some of you are uncomfortable for me even telling you this. I ate the whole thing. I ate all of it. There was no one in that restaurant, not even my friend, knew that what I was eating, I wasn't supposed to be eating. In fact, I didn't have to tell you that. You would never know the story. No one in the restaurant knew. No one cares. It tasted good then, but then I went back to the ship and thought about it all that night. In fact, I had been thinking about it for many years. So I spent time later on trying to make up for that mistake. Later on board another ship, I went on board the ship and told the cook that I was vegetarian. What a mistake. You see, what they do where the officers eat, at that particular time, we eat in an area called the ward room, just for the officers. There's no line to go through. They serve you your food. So guess what the cook did when I told him that I was vegetarian? meat was in everything. He fixed me, didn't he? And so I spent a month on that ship and I lost a lot of weight. It was rough. Another time I went to a prestigious dinner on base. My wife was with me. She'll remember the event. And I told him then that I was vegetarian. And chaplains often, we are sitting in prominent positions in reference to the audience because we often give the prayer. And so they brought me out a plate of what they thought was a vegetarian meal. And it was embarrassing. In fact, I apologized to my wife for that. I need to apologize for her. I've had her in some really precarious positions. It was not meat, but it was embarrassing. I don't know if he did it on purpose, but it was embarrassing. They should have brought a horse up to eat it. And it was a whole lot of it. I didn't do any good for Adventism because I was a mockery. Everybody was looking at my plate and wondering what was on it. Stay with me. Are you with me? Stay with me. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. Another time I said, I'll fix this. So for those of you, where's Dexter? Oh, there you are, Dexter. Dexter will understand. I won't go into details, but I was out in the field, Dexter. So I said, I'll fix them this time. I'm bringing my can of vegetarian meat. And I'm going to give the cook this can of meat to prepare. Dexter, I was out there with the Commandant of the Marine Corps. General Gray was the Commandant at the time. 4-star general. I gave the prayer, and they brought my plate of food out. And I don't know how that cook messed that up so. That is the worst-looking plate of food I'd ever seen in my life. You get where I'm getting? You see where I'm going? I did nothing good for Adventism. In fact, if you bring up Adventism and vegetarianism as they saw it, it wouldn't go over too good. It was chopped up and messy, and it was absolutely horrible. I don't know if he did it on purpose. But I did not accomplish anything relative eating. Today, things have changed in the military. I'm not in anymore, of course, but things have changed. They have salad bars and different areas where you can get your own food. 20 years ago was more, especially with the officers, they served you. Things have changed, and so those things are not as much of an issue anymore, but at that time, and so those are the challenges. And so I am so glad. You see, I was growing. Even as a minister, I was growing. And we know that we are not saved by how we eat. Amen? You know that, and I know that. For all have sinned, Romans 3:23, and come short of the glory of God. Amen? And when a jailer asked Paul and Silas, how about what do I need to do to be saved in Acts chapter 16? Of course, the response was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. We deserve death, but God gives us life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of life. Gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We know that we are saved through grace by faith, Ephesians 2, verse 8, correct? We're not saved based on how we eat. Amen? Adventists know that. So why do we put so much emphasis on eating? Well, several reasons. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we recognize that holiness equates with wholeness. Amen? We have seen that as a church from the very beginning in the Scriptures. And God put on earth a people who are a whole people, body, mind, and spirit. We have come to recognize that. We recognize when we look in the Scriptures that in Genesis, there not that I recall, any instances where babies are born and then they die of some kind of disease, where adults have the kind of diseases that we see today. In fact, it just says Adam lived 930 years and he died. We know that as we read Scriptures. We know that through the spirit of prophecy that God endowed man with so great a vital force that he withstood the accumulation of disease brought upon the race in consequence of perverted habits that continued up until today. And if it was not for the fact that God had given man such vital force, fundamentals of Christian education said that we would be extinct today. So we have come to recognize the wholeness, body, mind, and spirit, and recognize that even the antediluvians before the flood, they were not even affected by their bad habits until 2,000 years into earth existence. We have come to realize that man's original diet, according to Genesis 1:29, was fruit, grains, and nuts. God permitted, in Genesis 3 and verse 18, vegetables. Then after the flood, he permitted, in Genesis 9, he permitted man to eat clean meats. But meats were not best for us. Spiritual Gifts, volume 4, says that in permitting man to eat animal food, it shortened our sinful lives. When Jesus came to this earth, he ministered in a holistic fashion, body, mind, and spirit. We have kept and followed that design as a church, ministering to body, mind, and spirit. In Jesus' day, there was another view that was on the scene, a dualism that divides and separates body and spirit. It's a concept that can cause the debasement of the physical body. It's a concept that can cause us to think that when sickness comes upon us, it's because of divine judgment. And so, unfortunately, I think people have that view today. We may even have it in the church when a misfortune comes upon us. We think that divine judgment has come. But there is a passage that I believe that speaks to the heart of who we are and what we believe. First of all, we believe in healthful principles, not just eating. Amen? That's a mistake we make all the time. We go right to the food and do very little exercise. Amen? Very little other things that happen. But I want to let you know that we believe in healthful principles. Amen? Not all about eat and drink. most of all, you know what drives us? 1 Corinthians 10:31. Turn there, if you would. Just turn there briefly. I only have a few more minutes, but I want you to see. This is what drives Seventh-day Adventists. In fact, you already know the text. Some of you don't even have to turn there. If there's a watchword that drives us, it's this. And I don't want you to miss this. This is so important. First Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's our watchword. That's what drives us. But you know what happens with me? And this is where I got stuck. This is why I told you those stories. Because I usually stop at eat and drink. That's where I stop. And so I spent 20 years dealing with that. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, I stop there. And we always seem to be dealing with eat and drink. But look what else it says. Or whatever you do. We don't quote that much. You know why I don't think we quote that much? Because it's easier for us to deal with eat and drink, because you can have one-upsmanship when you're dealing with eat and drink. You can say, I'm vegan. You say it like that. I mean, that's right. That's the way. I'm vegan. I don't eat that because I'm vegan. I'm not knocking it as much. I want you to get my point. You can have one-upsmanship when you stop at eat and drink. But it says whatever you do. See, that's what drives Seventh-day Adventists. It's not, I'm telling you, true Seventh-day Adventists don't stop at eat and drink. It's whatever they do. So when I'm on the highway, I don't cut you off. Oh, help us. Am I right? Because whatever I'm doing it to the glory of God. I folk down, that challenges me. It's that part that challenges. It's not the eat and drink that challenges me. It's whatever else I do. I got to work on that. We have to be careful. You see, I won't have time, but I want you to go. If you would go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 8, 9, and 10. You'll find out what's happening here. Paul is dealing with the problem of the church of Corinth. You see, what was happening, they would have feasts in the temples, and they would have a lot of food. And the issue was, the Christians were saying, don't worry about the food that's offered to idols. We know there's no such thing as idols. So if there's no such thing as idols, how can we worry if the food is offered to idols? There's no such thing as idols. So we can eat it. Why waste a good steak? This was the issues that was going on. Paul spent 3 chapters dealing with that. But you know what? What's really helped me? Paul says, I know there's no such thing as idols. I know you know that. He says, you have knowledge of that. But listen to what I want you to do. I don't want any of your brothers to stumble because of you. So if you are, some of the members are weak. So because you want your brother to be saved, don't eat it. At least don't eat it in front of them. I mean that. That's exactly what Paul is saying, because some are weak. And so what we do here in Fallbrook, which I like, when we have our fellowship meals, we bring the very best. We bring the highest principles. We bring vegetarian. Doesn't mean we're better than anyone else, but we want to do everything we can to the glory of God. Now, every now and then a pot slips in there because someone didn't know that, and they'll bring a meat dish and you eat it all up, right? And that's okay. It certainly wouldn't be in good taste to tell them to take it home. Amen? Just like somebody who meets me at the door and say, don't say eggs. Folk, help us. You can't be too sensitive and survive in this church. Hey, y'all know I'm telling the truth. Because folk will say about anything and think they have the right to tell you. I'm getting so that I let people know you don't have the right to tell me that. I'm getting like that. The older I get, there's some things that you tell me at the door, I'm not going to take it. Amen? I'm serious. You have no right. You've not formed a relationship, that kind of relationship, to tell me anything. Amen? And you need to do the same thing to those kinds of people that feel they can tell you anything. Some people can't tell you. They don't have the right to tell you anything. I know I'm in deep waters, but that's okay. But there's something else. Give me 5 minutes. Can you give me 5 minutes? Because there's something that is happening that I need to say. There's a text in 1 Timothy 4. You don't have to turn there. You can look it up. It's a text that deals with last days. Most of us are familiar with it. Talked about some of the things that happened in the last days. Read a book by Neil Anderson. He talks about this, and I think it might be on target. You know what's happening? And it talked about there would come a time in the last days when people would talk about abstaining from certain foods. I used to think, and I always, again, my mind always go back to these thinking about this particular item of food versus this item of food. But you know what? I think what's going on, you know, the devil is slick. And you know, we are, and I pray that we will always do this. It's part of our holistic ministry that we would preach and talk about what is the best in terms of eating and drinking and so on. That is a part of us. It's the right thing to do. But I do think today we are off base a little, because there's an area that's itching. And we are not there. Because 25 million people in this country have eating disorders. And eating disorders is not about food. Are you with me? Isn't the devil something? There's a large portion of this nation that's on diet. And it's usually not about food. The devil said, I'll fix you. You're preaching health stuff, but I'm going way above that. And so 10 million young women have issues with anorexia, bulimia, and 1 million men. I'll fix you. And it's not about food. It's about here. And the only thing that can correct that, and you know what they're saying? First graders and third grade girls are worrying about their weight. 51% of young girls 9 years old are worrying that they need to be on a diet. I mean, something's happening here. Devil said, okay, I'll fix it. Anorexia and bulimia, and it has the highest mortality rate of any other disorder of women in the ages 15 to 24. And I was reading and trying to figure out what is the devil doing. And this is, I'm going to give this, but it's not to pick on women. It just happened to be the greatest statistics regarding this, the area of bulimia and anorexia. Just more data, and more women seem to be participating in it. But they said that the average weight of American women is 5 feet 4 inches tall, weighing 140 pounds. But the average model is 5 foot 11, 117 pounds. I hope you got that. I hope you got the point. You see, they're messing with our minds. And it's going right down to our tables. But I believe that the answer is the answer that I mentioned in the very beginning. The answer is what we bring. Whatever we do, eating, drinking, or whatever it is, we do it to the glory of God. There it is. That is the answer for a sick world. If we would think about what we're doing, because what do you know we've discovered? I've discovered it. You know, there are other people out there that are vegetarians and vegans and practice, they don't eat unclean meats. There's a whole Islam, there's a whole group of people that practice what we practice. And there are a group of people who practice what we practice, have no faith at all. Have you discovered that? Some of them, they hug trees and they like environmental things, but they have no Jesus. And the answer is, whatever it is we're doing, do it to the glory of God. And that includes eating and drinking. I'm going to ask you to give me an answer to this. I don't have the answer, then we're going to go. You know what confuses me, and I don't have the answer, and I know, Karen, you do an excellent job in your cooking schools. That's what I appreciate about when you present it. You don't present it with an attitude, okay, which is good. You're going to reach people with, telling them about, eating well. You can't be arrogant and look like you have the one-upsmanship. But I never really understood, and maybe some of you can help me, why Jesus ate fish. Yeah, but don't we have one up on him if we're vegetarian? Don't we have one up on Jesus? So maybe life is not the most important thing in the life of the church is not about eating. Could it be? I don't know. You help me. You have to help me on that. Could it be? I know that I threw a lot of you off. Go to John 21 and verse 14. He says, come to breakfast. And he gave them bread and fish. Adventists won't even quote that. They're scared to say what I just said. I need to stop. I've got enough trouble. I just want to do whatever brings glory to God. Amen. That's what I want to do. How many want to say with me, I want to do to the glory of God everything. Thank you. Folk, if you want to know about what drives Adventists, that's what drives us. The glory of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Can I eat meat and be saved? Well, that depends. If I'm going to cause a brother or sister to be lost because of it, then I shouldn't do it for their salvation's sake. And Lord, I would not want anyone to be lost because of me. And sometimes, Lord, we can do even a thing that is right, but it may not be the right time to do it. So, Lord, we need your wisdom in all things. And eating and drinking and whatever it is we do, we need your guidance. We need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for guiding this church. Give us the right spirit in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, how much